Welcome back to the Big Book Podcast for December 11th. Ho, 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 folks, as we eagerly await Christmas, we have a few goodies for you. Some Med Command Crew. We're going to skip the usual histrionics at the beginning. I am Automaton 2000. With me is Dan Javin and Genos Adanian. Guys, we have some Med Command Crew to look at, so let's hop right in with those. O'Donnell, first on the list, is a campaign offering. Dan, let's start with you. You said in the past you're kind of choosy about your campaign crew. Is this Gideon good enough for you to pull?
Yeah, I've skipped O'Donnell, although I can see why somebody would really like this crew. There's a lot to love about having a med secondary, especially with how much mileage we've gotten out of Devious Duet Durat. Devious Duet Jurati.
Easy for you to say.
It was perennially on my voyages, but I think that's the problem here, right? Is that O'Donnell just doesn't have the collections, only two collections, doesn't have as good of an antimatter seating as Duet has. I just don't see her flying as much for me, so that really has put a damper on my spending this month.
Now, Genos, I know Namor was stumping for her in Big Book Chat, so what is there to look forward to? If you're a campaign purchaser already, what else can she offer besides voyages?
Yeah, so happy Hanukkah, by the way. She does have an interesting ship ability. It's an 8-second, 400% instant damage ability with an accuracy boost but an evasion penalty. So if you're starting the game and you're maybe willing to spend a little bit, you know, there's some value there for a new account or a new player overall, but she's probably in the bottom half to bottom third of premium campaign legendaries, in my opinion. There's not a whole lot of meat on the bone here. I like Med Command, but when it's the secondary and the tertiary, it doesn't do a whole lot for me. Even though she is the best Gideon in the game, that really doesn't add much to her scorecard, in my opinion. I got to one crew before I made the joke.
Yeah, I can't even knock you, Genos, because you at least are consistent with that one. So for a Tier 4 debut, we are sounding a little bit harsh. It's because she is a little more one-note. Two collections in this day and age is not enough. The ship ability, while fine on the surface, has some pretty easy drawbacks there with the limit and the evasion penalty. So, you know, as sort of a quick, short power refresh on frantic McCoy on voyages, she should do fine for you there. Not a lot of overlap with missing the Human Federation Starfleet traits. But I think rosters of almost any level will be able to use her on voyages, even if not in other areas of the game. All right, on to the more exciting then of the two Med Command-ish crew. Admiral McCoy, how long have we waited for this guy in-game? He's here, he's real, and he's spectacular, including a wonderful ship arena quote, which I think we all would have rided if it wasn't that one. Speaking of that, he has hull repair with an attack boost there. Obviously a good voyage profile with the skill set. I promise not to steal you guys' thunder, so I'll just throw it to you, Genos. So many great attributes. Tell us what he offers.
Yeah, his scorecard almost entirely is shades of green, except for Gauntlet, which, you know, where he's a zero. He's got five collections, but that's pretty much where he's going to top out unless we get something like a show collection for TNG or TOS. So five collections out of the box is fantastic. And the voyage power to make use of his skill set, Med Command, with the command first, and, you know what, top 30 Voyager. There's not much more you can ask for, except maybe him being accessible through an event instead of a six-pack.
Now, Dan, I like the fact that he doesn't have diplomacy, because how many cards released nowadays are dip command something? So not only does he not have dip for that primary, so the command should be a little bit nicer for shuttle seating. He doesn't have it anywhere, and that helps his voyage profile, too.
Yeah, so speaking of voyage profile, so his closest competition right now in the Med Command is Vidala Elder, who we recently got in the portal with the last update, and who really doesn't stay on the ground very long. You know, talking about a card of a similar power level in that same Med Command, This guy's going to fly for a long time. He'll be a site candidate once he hits the portal. If you missed his pack, really great reintroduction of the traditional six packs, bringing a really powerful character back. Right now he's at a voyage rank of, looks like number 25 here, but I think that we can probably consider him to have a little more staying power than average just because of that med secondary stuck in there. As Jaina said, I really love getting all my collections up front. There's no speculation here. You know, you get what you pay for. If you had the dilithium from the leap year sale to go into this pack and you got lucky, you've got a fantastic crew on your hands right now with Admiral McCoy.
Yeah, that skill set is probably more rare than we might realize. If you look at the Voyage power ranks, Mycelial Culber, who is several years old at this point, sub 200 in terms of, well, both boosted and unboosted Voyage score. One of the first lower decks crew in Dr. Ta'ana, also way down there in the basement. Same with Dr. Mbenga, one of the first Strange New Worlds crew. So they occasionally give us a skill set, but not too often, and certainly not often enough to refresh power at the rate you see with a lot of other skill sets. So even though he's around rank 50, 60 on debut, he will perform much better for that, much better than that on your average roster, due in part to that lack of diplomacy skill. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and mix up the notes here because I'm looking at the skill set and I see Professor Data at the top, and he will be available in an upcoming six-pack. So let's pivot and go ahead and talk about Daystrom Android M510. Now, he is a Data variant, along with a lore variant and I think one or two other secret variants that don't matter quite yet. But the question I want to pose to you gentlemen is he the belle of the ball? Is he the pick of this pack? Like I said, Professor Data is in there, a great crew. Right now, they're ranked almost identically overall in the big book. So what sets him apart from some of the med crew that we've recently talked about?
So this crew has a really strange skill triplet and skill pair. So looking at a sec eng, the crew that pop out to me in this pair, Vox recently offered in the honor hall if you paid for him and he's voyaging for you. Daystrom Android has got in that skill pair nearly 100 points on him in terms of raw voyage power. Beats Barge of the Dead Torres, who is my go-to for a long time. We recently got La Serena Borg Queen. He's on top of every single one of those in that pair. And then you throw in a really sweet tertiary ability, and he's just he's really a strange little niche crew that just brings raw power in addition to a strange skill set. I think that he's going to really have a lot of staying power. Also, because of his strange array of traits that he's got. He throws in things like Prodigy and Cybernesis with Saboteur. So I think he might actually let injured Torres take a chill for a while if he can solve some of the same fleet boss battle notes that she does.
Yeah, now if you're playing the dip command, see, I already did. If you're playing the big book pod drinking game, every time we complain about dip command, take a shot. Unfortunately, that's also resulted in pushing down a lot of other skill triplets on Voyages. So if we're looking at his sec eng Psy, he's one of only two crew in the top 150 with that, he and Nell Apgar. So similar in virtue to Med Command crew, where there aren't nearly as many as there are for all of these dip whatever flooding the market. So by virtue of that, he's automatically going to perform a little bit better than the raw numbers on your roster. That's why we have him rated slightly above his voyage rank, along with those some standard, some non-standard antimatter boosts.
Yeah, it's a real interesting crew, in my opinion. Very eclectic group of traits, not only for antimatter but also for collections. He comes pre-packaged with three more possible viable traits, two of which Cyberneticist and Prisoner have gotten mega events before. Another thing that's real interesting is his ship ability. It's sort of like a win with your favorites sort of ability. A position, big attack boost at 6 seconds. So, you know, if you have a position ship and you're, an arena or skirmish enjoyer, you might want to throw him on there. And then, of course, he counts for both data and lore. So putting all those lore events aside for a moment, you know, we get lore events every month. Sec base, eng based for all those data events. That's why his event rating is so sky high. if I were one to jump into packs, this is one I probably would jump into for Daystrom Android M5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd have kind of a snappier a nickname for him, so I wouldn't have to read out the whole thing. But regardless, between he and Professor Data, that should be a six-pack at least worth taking a look at if you don't have the other crew already in the pack. All right, well, unfortunately, the Med Command gravy train must end, but the good news is now we can jump on some Eng Command instead. We'll circle back around to Sydney LaForge, the giveaway crew who we mentioned in the last podcast, didn't quite have the numbers on, and now we do. So, Dan, tell me why Namer doesn't know what he's doing with tiers. Tier 6 is a little bit too low for your liking, isn't that right?
It's harsh. It's harsh for really a top 100 Voyager, the top 100 ranked crew that is debuting with an Eng primary. We were discussing earlier the most recent Eng primary giveaway crew we've gotten was Barry Waddle, like more than 2 years ago. She's a rarity, and I think that I went out of my way after the last portal drop to retrieve somebody in her exact skill set, which is EV Suit Hemmer, just because it was such a great underrepresented skill set. And now to have her dropped on the doorstep with nearly identical power, exact same skill order, she's a treasure. And to get 4 stars on her for free, anybody that has any sort of honor to spare for the upcoming honor sale, which we expect the week that this podcast drops, save enough to put one final sight on her, get her maxed out. She'll fly free for quite a long time.
I believe it's the week after.
Okay.
But, you know, plausible deniability. We can't say for sure because we're definitely not paid shills of WRG.
TPG now.
Yeah, TPG. In defense exploration of the algorithm, Tier 6 is really not the end of the world. In fact, about 80% of crew are Tier 6 or lower. It's just the way that we have the bucket set up, because you can only have X number of crew active on your roster, even with all the different systems and games. So we've sort of smushed together some of the names in the upper tiers, so they're much smaller than you'll see down below. So this is not to say that Tier 6 is below average. It just might be sitting just outside of crew that you have running daily. But again, that Eng primary actually saves her in this case. Generals, go ahead and talk to me about continuum missions, because engineering is right now pretty much just dominated by demo man Scotty. So is she up to the task of handling nodes with maybe just 2 pieces of equipment?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but just given that there are so few engineering primary giveaways or, you know, crew that are accessible very easily, if you're a newer player, maybe you haven't progressed that far through your fleet boss battles, your Captain's Bridget, you don't have Demo Man Scotty, she's going to help you get through the Epic and Elite levels, because she has a strong base, she has a decent proficiency. Even though she'll only be able to equip 3 engineering equipment, the 2 legendary and then the 1 uncommon, that should still, with some luck, and if you've got a few decent bonuses from your collections and your fleet, she should be able to clear those nodes. So she's probably worth a sight for the newer player or the people that haven't quite gotten to Demo Man Scotty.
Yeah, now we haven't specifically added a continuum missions attribute in the big book. It's something that's generally baked in to a lot of the existing attributes, either between exotic traits for collection prowess or strength of the base for the shuttle attribute. So that's something obviously that we discuss quite a lot in the Big Book channel. But it is reflected primarily here in her shuttle stat, which is her best on the scorecard. So, you know, her names like Amelia Earhart, very good in combined eng, they can do you in general about as well as any other crew except Demo Man. So while we're on the topic, I do have to talk them up. 1-skill crew, or big base crew, as we've memed about for years at this point, names that we kind of cast aside because they just didn't have the versatility of a Voyager or a Gauntlet crew. But Demo Man actually has come up in a big way, both in saving you continuum mission material for equipment, and also in terms of keeping one of your engineering crew flying on voyages, which in this case might be Sydney LaForge. So both of these crew giveaway strong and continue missions. There's a little bit of a parallel there. You may not need to max both of them for continual missions, but if you do end up finishing one of them, they will benefit you by releasing the other one for use on your roster as well. All right, moving on from all of those one-off crew, let's look at something holistically. This being the first mega event with equipment. I know, Genos, you've been working a lot with equipping super rare crew for events and had some success there. And Dan, you were kind of chomping at the bit before we recorded this week, wanting to cover this. So with the upcoming Strange New World / Explorer Mega, there will certainly be a lot of opportunities for us to leverage our equipment there. Week one with Kalar Ortegas, that event has already transpired, so you may have her or not have her. Admiral Robert April is the recurring crew for this Mega, and we'll run down all the crew individually in a moment. But first, Jen, let's go ahead and start us off with the topic of quipping crew, specifically for events and specifically for Megas, where you have sort of one reliant on the next one each week, and you have, you know, the order of events ahead of time, which can be certainly a big boon.
Yeah, so it's helpful to know the order of events, like you mentioned, because then you can grab the existing super rares and start to open up equipment slots on them, you know, running them through when you have some extra time, or you maybe you just have one or two nodes left in a particular mission. I found some great success in recent faction events and recent galaxy events, opening a few slots on the existing or even the new super rares, throwing a couple of legendary equipment on there. It's made a big difference on galaxy missions for sure with that 10x bonus, including, and then you multiply the equipment. It's been 100%, 99% on these galaxy recipes. That's the word I was looking for. So I'm a big fan of it. Of course, you're not going to be able to equip Admiral April because unless you're going to go ahead and sight him week one, you're not going to be able to use them in the missions. But, you know, who are we to tell you what to do with your citations?
We're the Big Book Podcast, and that's literally what we do. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan of equipping the crew. And, you know, maybe you pick, you know, one or two really strong crew, you know, that has a very common skill set, you know, a sec, a dip, a command. And maybe you try to equip them for the entire Mega.
So the interesting thing about equipping during the Mega is, so if you're going to throw it on a purple, it's the same purple that you're earning that week as the one that you're going to be using in the Mega. So it's a little bit of hustle. So interesting with galaxy events in particular, you may want to threshold up as far as possible and get the community reward to finish off your purple and then spend some time in the continuum missions to get a few slots unlocked. And you may be able to, just in time, get a equipment or maybe even two equipments on that purple by the very end of phase two and go ahead and go wild right before some of us during working hours, right before the end of the event on Monday morning, if you're lucky. So talk a little bit about the explorers that are going to also receive a bonus. Strange New Worlds crew and explorers, many of them both. Very frequently, pikes are going to be your top explorers. They're going to really come in handy. We've got the free Enterprise pike that many of us got right when they first announced Strange New Worlds. Crew would be entering the game. So if you were lucky enough to finish and get all your stars on him, he's going to do very well for you for this. A lot of explorers at the purple level too that we've picked up along the way, just as random drops and rewards. So as we progress through the Mega, the last two events are both going to be factions, so the more explorers the better for that. You can staff more shuttles, you know, get more VP, and that's an interesting part about the flow of this this Mega. And I really like the way that they've set us up for success with a skirmish at the beginning, so we can pre-farm as much of our galaxy components as needed.
Now, Dan, if I need a little bit of help knowing what to pre-farm for a skirmish, do you know of a good guide I could look at?
Well, you wrote the book on that years ago on Reddit. If anybody wants to go back and check Automata 2000's
No. Old pre-farm guide there. You're supposed to plug your own stuff, Dan. Chronometrics.
I will, but I stand on the shoulders of giants. And so
folks, just so you know. Go ahead.
You look taller on webcam. The So based on your foundational work, there is a new cab tool that's been name dropped over on the Trek Time streams and podcasts. Check them out. But the Chronometrics tool is a new Excel tool. It's available to anybody who would like. We'll put a post. We'll put a link in the post when we put this cast up. But to finish the thought, thank you for the plug. To finish the thought, as we accumulate crew throughout the Mega, we've got an opportunity with a faction galaxy in the third week, and then a faction in the fourth week to put all those explorers to work for us. Unfreeze them, keep them unfrozen, and your shuttles will be golden 99%.
What you might find interesting too is that a couple of the, or more than a couple of the Gauntlet exclusive crew are explorers as well. So it might even behoove you to go ahead and unlock some slots on them, use them in Gauntlet, use them in Continuum missions, and use them in the Mega. So you got your First Flight Archer, you've got Caretaker, you've got Baylock, some of your top Explorer Gauntlet exclusives. Another one that I recently worked on unlocking, just coincidentally, was Acting Captain Eriks, who I believe was recently an event reward in a rerun that you might have a copy of, so maybe you spend a couple of retrievals or sights on him. He has a unique equipment, a merchant one, I believe, so you can go ahead and throw three legendary equipment on him, and he's a command primary, so that's going to be pretty helpful for very common shuttle seating.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk specifics then, starting with the first legendary event reward. Ironically, one in a faction event, but she ain't going in her shuttle. Akelar Ortegas. Very similar in a lot of ways to her legendary sister off-duty Ortegas. Same skill set, roughly the same voyage power on debut, pretty narrow utility, due in part to a lack of traits. I know a lot of people tune in just for the drinking game. Dip Command f***ing sucks, so take a shot. And while you're drinking, let's talk about a crew who might drive us to that. No one was really chomping at the bit to cover Ortegas, but Genos, the duty befalls you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot that I really want to say about her, except that she's got a new hat. And I'm going to bemoan yet again the lack of love for the pilot trait. Pilot was my very first Mega for the Atana Joel Mega back in like December 2018. And we haven't seen any love for it really since. Maybe she's going to hit two or three collections, but right now she's a zero. And that's about as much effort that I'm putting into her event. So I'm not gonna rank for her, and I'll forget about her once the event is over.
So, talking a little bit about the event and timing. So this is an event we've seen before. It's called the Building a New World event. Previously, another unremarkable crew was the gold drop, which is Princess Tonya Barrows. One that has not been cited and has not seen much use for me. And unfortunately, this Ortegas is going to suffer a similar fate. It's been a tremendously unpopular event, not a lot of competition. And so, speaking of the timing, so if you can make an argument for competing for a crew that is middling, like Kalar Ortegas is, if you have use in the next week. What do we have next week? We get our first skirmish event in 8 weeks, an event that you can take even a one-star purple that you dropped off of your very first purple threshold and still get a full bonus on those shuttles. There's just absolutely no reason for an early game crew to early game player to compete for this. Probably can't, because in a full faction event, you need to have a breadth of crew in order to even be able to place. And so without a reason to push and spend those shuttle tokens to earn her for the following week, there's just really not a lot of reason. For endgame players, abysmal collection value. She rates on the big book as a 1.2, and it's easy to see why. She's got a unique trait in Kalar. She's got Human Starfleet Federation, and her collections are just not there. She's going to drop like a rock with the dipsec drink again, and it's just dead weight. It is the crew that you will earn one or two stars from, and just She will never fly. She'll sit there on your roster. I can't say enough bad things about Kayla Ortegas.
First of all, Dan, you lush. It's called the Dip Command drinking game, not the Dip Sec drinking. I know you love your rum and your gin and whatnot. But,
I'll drink any Dip Primary.
Actually, I'll drink to that. That's a good idea. Yeah, not all Tier 6s are created equally. We were a little bit down on Tier 6 for Sydney LaForge. And, you know, she is rated better. If you look at the overall page and you see where the crew are ordered, the top of Tier 6, they actually are better than the bottom of Tier 6. So even though we don't go that granular with front-facing ratings, there is a little bit of a difference. So, yeah, this is sort of a, for our U.S. viewers, this is sort of a Midwest crew. Midland, how you doing, Midland? This is kind of where we slap our knees and go, right, and stand up and get ready to leave. This is sort of your
this
mid.
This is the flyover states of the Caribbean.
That's right. Yeah, I want to keep running.
Nebraska.
Keep running on the metaphors. What else do we have here? It's sort of the bathroom break in the middle of the mega, even though it's at the beginning. So yeah, if you're looking for a crew to skip, this is probably going to be the one. And in fact, off duty Ortegas, who we name dropped earlier, is on the same page. You know, if you sort 10 crew at a time, she's within just about a half dozen ranks overall, and that's a crew who's another year older. So you know, they're not going to release tier 10 legendaries ever. That's pretty much financial suicide. So this is about as bad as it gets for a new release, both in terms of day one power and long-term thinking, because she really only has two viable collection / event traits. And I know Federation has hit before and it may hit again, but you know what I mean, process over results, folks.
We've taken a hard line on Kalar Ortegas. Any of our listeners want to drop us a line if you find any redeeming value for this crew? We'll plug our email inbox here. Send us an email and let us know what you think.
Yeah, again with the Sydney comparison, I mean, we're looking at a Dip primary versus an Eng primary. So that alone is leagues of difference in terms of utility. Let's go ahead and talk then about a more useful crew. Kalar Pike. Otis Campbell's going to be drinking good today. Another Dip Command-ish crew. Command Dip, Psy, and all those permutations have been so flooded out now. I think about 40% of the top 100 Voyagers are either Dip Command Psy or Dip Command Sec. So this is one of them. But he has certainly stepped up from Kalar Ortegas, who didn't get to go down to the planet. Dan, I want to throw it to you first, because in about a year, folks trading noding in fleet boss battles are going to come across a Kalar and undercover operative node. And who do you want to have put 5 stars on, you know, to help figure out that node?
Yeah, fortunately, thank goodness for Kalar Pike, saving the Kalars everywhere, all two of them in the game. Yeah, if you with Human Federation Starfleet, Kalar, and Undercover Operative, you have got a lot of potential matches on all nodes that you're going to have to find a solution for. Anybody that keeps their Mintaken Troys unfrozen at all times knows that when those nodes show up, you've got to have one of them, and this guy's going to be your go-to. But apart from that, he has some other value. He's got a really large command primary, which is great. He's going to sit on your shuttles. He'll do some good work for you if you can get him maxed out and throw him in into your continuum missions as well. Ship battle, he's got a nice short initiation, but that's about all there is to say. He's just a raw attack boost on there. I think there's a little bit to be said about his voyage power. Janus, what do you got for me?
Yeah, so first of all, the reason that he got the extra traits is because he got to go down to the planet auto. So let's look at his voyage power. So his debut power is quite a bit stronger. So between that voyage power, between the shuttle base, between his event chances, that's why he's up in tier 6. Even though the command base is, you know, dime a dozen, just like the dip bases, I really like him, you know, and I like Pike just in general. So he's a good citation candidate for after this honor sale, after this mega, you know, run through your recap packs. And hopefully you end up with this Kalar and not the other Kalar. Otherwise, that's going to be the new Linus Perist of this particular mega recap packs.
Yeah, no, we said earlier in the Big Book channel this skill set is actually so populous, it's starting to warp the tier rating. And so between he and Admiral April, who we'll talk about in a second, both tier 4, both voyage rating below an 8 despite pretty strong power. And that's just because it's such an available option out there in several different permutations. That being said, certainly a more appealing crew maybe to kick off the Mega, they should have swapped he and Ortegas, but we have what we have. And there's also a lot of similarities between he and April, so that is actually one thing that can ding him. You getting 4 stars on April for free is a crew who is quite similar to Pike, and so if you're looking at, you know, if you only have a few citations, you're looking at bumping up maybe a command base, or maybe the skill set for some reason. Already having 4 stars on April in the bag does ding Pike. Normally we don't do too many direct comparisons, but then being released in the same Mega, certainly there's some consideration there.
Yeah, mentioned the traits earlier. So he comes out of the box with 2 collections. Explorer is coming in December, so that gives him 3, and then he has 2 more possible viable traits. So a 5-pack is going to be pretty strong for this crew. So I really like that as an option for a long-term project. So maybe you're not going to get him 5 out of 5 from this Mega, but maybe you go ahead and retrieve stars for him 12 to 18 months from now, and you know, we'll have 5 collections by then. Or a game's dead, who knows?
My antenna always go up whenever there's a playable skirmish earnable gold. And Kalar Pike is him. If you put in the time, if you've got your cron saved up and you grind for him, you'll have a solid crew on your hands. Early players take note. Even though the skill set's common, it's usable. You know, he'll certainly fly shuttles for a long time for you. And he will really do well. Again, to talk about timing, rolling from the skirmish into a galaxy, having a strong gold on your side to complete some of those supply missions, those recipes, in your second week Mega Galaxy event, Kalar Pike is going to do great work for you.
Now on to Admiral Robert April, Command Ipsec. I mean, Command Ipsec, drink up. So, I'll rip my own joke since I made it earlier. If I had a nickel for every Command Ipsec legendary released in December with a 14-13 command base who's captained the Enterprise previously, I'd have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice. This is a near clone of Kalar Pike, who we just talked about, 4 or 5 viable traits, a good command base, the same skill set, good Voyager and Shuttler with not a ton else on the plate. I would give the edge in traits to Pike. However, April has something notable to talk about. Dan, tell us what might be a nice boon for new players.
Yeah, so we keep an eye on the ship abilities whenever you're looking at crew. We took a look at Admiral Robert April, and we saw what we call an optimal heal. So when you're playing Fleet Boss Battles, you get the most damage by lasting the entire 180 seconds. And to do that, you want to jam a good amount of really frequently firing healers into your crew. Optimally, we haven't seen a healer better than one that does a 25% hull heal on a 20-second cycle, and this card does that for you. The drawbacks, he is an accuracy crew and not what we like to see as an attack boosting crew, so you get a little bit fewer DPS as you're healing and lasting that duration. If you are able to get one of those optimal healers for free without having to retrieve or compete, then new players and even mid-game players are certainly going to benefit. So that will ensure that Admiral Robert April stays unfrozen for many of you. A lot of other great benefits, too. He's not an explorer, unfortunately,
well,
which is difficult.
Before we move on, you know, potato, potato. But 1-star Ensign Ogawa has a 35% hull repair. So where's your god now, Dan?
My god is that it's unrestricted. Ensign Ogawa, if anybody has noted, only fires once. So, yes, another good point to note is that there's no restrictions on this crew for the heal. So keep an eye on those dots. But to go a little bit further, so identical command stat to April. Identical. The crew are so similar. I just keep exchanging them.
Admiral Kalar, Pike, Tegas, April, yes.
Slightly different skin tones.
Anyways, he's fine for shuttles. If you need a big command primary, April will do it fine. If you missed out on earning a Kalar Pike, then you've got the free Mega crew. Is he worth the sight? I don't know. Janus, what do you think?
Yeah, so one thing I did want to bring up is even though he does have a very common skill set, again, very similar to Kayla or Pike, same skill set, not an identical order, but same triplet. If you want to throw that extra sight on him, he might be helpful for you with continuum missions. So even though he doesn't have any unique equipment, he's got a big base, he's got a decent proficiency, and he can equip two super rare equipment. So you get the two legendary, you get the two super rares, he's going to be able to pretty easily clear out your epic and your elite battles. So that's something to consider as a new player. Do you want to throw that sight on him? And maybe even as a mid-game or early late game player, you might not have a whole ton of big command bases. Maybe you haven't thrown out 100,000 honor and four sights for Captain Tribble. This is a decent surrogate that you're getting 80% of the way just for competing in events.
All right, next up in the mega list, Counselor Nera Kutul, as we keep rocking the legendary options here. I feel like we're going full circle because here is another DipSec Voyager with almost identical power to Kalar Ortegas. So, a different tertiary skill, but actually very similar in that realm. One thing that won't help her there, though, is the Counselor trait. Genos, go ahead and split some hairs for us.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to split some hairs here. So this is not a counselor in the way that like a Counselor Troy is a counselor. They mean that in like her profession as an attorney. And of course, WRG stripped the advocate trait out of the game a couple of years ago when they did a big old trait cleanup. So Advocate Kolos lost that trait. So she shouldn't have the counselor trait, even though that's her title. But neither here nor there. It's not an antimatter trait. It's probably not going to be a collection, so it's kind of a nothing burger of a trait. But at least she has two collections out of the box, and a couple of interesting traits like Duelist and Interrogator and Crafty. So she's an investment for the future. Right now, I'm not super interested in this crew outside of the fun art and her being the first Illyrian to enter the game.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised to see it as a collection in the future. And in fact, that is one of the reasons that sets her apart from Kayla Ortegas, is those extra traits. Dan, I see reasonable potential collection value here. Not much in terms of events. Maybe the wheel turns there, but between Crafty, Communicator, Interrogator, Duelist, Counselor, that's a banquet compared to what Ortegas has. So if you had to pick one to star up, like I said, they are almost identical on Voyages. Ortegas being main cast might sway some people. Which crew would you pick out of the two?
I'd have to go with this card, with Counselor Nera Kutul. She's got a lot more potential with hitting fleet boss battle nodes. Really strange mix of traits. Having Duelist alongside some of the more cerebral traits is interesting to me. I don't know that we have a lot of Duelist counselors in the game right now. And certainly if they ever proceed with a trait audit and rightfully give Una some of the Illyrian traits that she sorely needs on her existing cards, that's going to lead to a lot more potential with that trait. The fact that also you don't have to suffer through the Human Starfleet Federation on this crew really leaves a lot of room to grow here. But the question is whether she's going to benefit from that, which would mean you'd have to put sights on or really compete hard or eventually retrieve. And I just don't see that long-term potential here with this crew. She's already debuting at a Tier 5. Her Voyage power in her triplet is under 5,000, which right now we're seeing new crew that are dip primary debut at 5,100 and over in raw Voyage score. I think she's just going to get left behind. She's a little bit too weak, coming at just the wrong time. And there's not much today. We'll see what happens in the future for her. But I think she's a pass for me too, just like Janus.
I'll say, just because I am a collector of trait lists, I do like this crew in a vacuum. Probably not one that I will star up early on. But if I can get a couple stars in her introductory event, in a year or two down the line, you're looking at finishing one or two collection milestones. I can certainly see a crew like this with this number of viable traits pop up in the future, someone that you might want to throw some stars on. So, because of the power of her contemporaries and the available skill set, apparently, at least with Ortegas, probably not someone that I'm going to max early on either, but a nice to have a couple copies eating a crew slot. You know, it's certainly better than a super rare in the same situation.
One thing I do want to add on this is that, you know, we mentioned the trade auto. We mentioned possibly having Illyrian added to number one Una variants. You know, by definition, all Illyrians should also have the engineer trait. So, you know, Nira is objectively missing this trait. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be a real good way for them to operationalize taking trait feedback other than going to the forums, which I'm not going to do.
Apparently Twitter works too, but that was just one time.
We call that X now. Okay. maybe if they send it to the big box mailbag, we can pass it that on to Ben and Joe and the what is the narrative lady? What's her name? Amber.
What is our leverage? Our massive leverage.
Yeah. What is the big box mailbag, by the way?
Did I say
that? It's like
that?
Trick Talk, the new musical.
Yeah. Who cares? You know, we rebrand weekly, anyways.
Sam Kerm.
Speaking about names that not everyone cares about, let's go ahead and hit the super rares for the mega upcoming as well. Jenna Mitchell will kick us off for Strange New Worlds super rares, SNWSR. That's going to be kind of a confusing acronym. An Eng primary crew actually kind of puts one in mind of Sydney LaForge, who we just talked about with the same primary secondary there. For all of the event-specific things, because of the bonus, she may perform a little bit better there. She's a skirmish reward, though, so you won't be walking away with a free 4 stars of this crew. Dan, is it worth throwing that last star on there? Right now I'm seeing but a single collection, a reasonable ship ability, and sort of middling voyage power.
This crew doesn't have a whole lot of short or long-term value. So in the short term, we look at how she'd be used immediately, and that would be in the skirmish event. No reason to level her up, and certainly not to cite her for that, since just throwing an unleveled single star copy on your ship will give you the full bonus for the skirmish event. So you've earned your 3 stars that the event will give you. The only way to get a 4th star on her, apart from just slapping a sight on, which are becoming increasingly scarce with all the new objective events dropping beholds instead of citations, would be to look forward to our recap packs at the end of the mega. We've seen some reasonable crew, but nothing to write home about yet. We'll see what the later events bring in terms of stats and power to really justify spending Dilithium on those recap packs. You might, and surely will if you do any quantity of them, find your 4th star for her there. But with only one collection and not much potential there, and no other real use outside of the event, I can't imagine really rushing to finish Jenna Mitchell. Yeah, Janice, what do you think about this card?
Yeah, honestly, she's looking over her shoulder at the crew that are behind her in the rankings, and there aren't all that many. You know, you really said it all. Middling voyage power, engineering primary. The ship ability is really the most interesting thing about her for a newer player. 250% instant damage without a penalty, without a trigger, is nice. So enjoy that, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy, Janos Mitchell, because you are the one who brought up the idea of equipping 4 stars for the Mega. Now, she is the number 5 engineering base among super rares. We don't get a lot of engineering event crews. So even though there are a number on Explorers, if you're a newer player and you pick up maybe even 2 copies in the skirmish and you're looking to try to compete in next week's Galaxy, which is a little more forgiving than other event types for new players, you know, how viable is either adding stars or then going a step further and equipment? Because this may be, for a lot of newer players, their only engineering option for the entire Mega.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So I'm gonna jump ahead potentially 1 week to that Galaxy event. And I believe one of the crew that we're going to be talking about later is going to be in that event, Chief Engineer Pelia. And she is an engineering primary. You're going to get 4 stars for her, so you could equip her and let Jenna Mitchell just sit there three out of four, level 1, in your crew quarters forever.
Yeah, and if you just need raw engineering, just go with your free Sydney. You're going to get way more engineering power out of her than you will out of this purple.
All right, from one Eng command crew to another, since you've segued us early, Genos, we'll put a pin in Mitchell watch for now. Credit to Dan for reminding me about one of the legendary jokes in our community. But yeah, that's a good point, Janos, because for a super rare crew whose usage may be kind of narrow for a lot of people in terms of this bonus mega or nothing, we do have Pelia waiting in the wings to do the job that the Jenna may have done in her stead. Very similar crew, kind of three viable traits versus two for Jenna. But two interesting ship abilities. Dan, I want you to kind of compare and contrast here. With Jenna, we had triggerless 250% damage. And here we have a +9 attack boost with a position trigger. Position, I think even recently we sort of changed the weighting on that trigger because the Borg Sphere is sort of the dominant ship in the Captain Division and for certain difficulties, a fleet boss battle. So with that position being fairly available if you have the ship, you know, which one in a vacuum would you recommend for newer players? Is it the attack boost? Is it the triggerless damage? Do you try to grab both back-to-back and set half of your arena lineup right there?
There's some short and some long-term use for a position trigger. Also, as you're earning through your bridge boss battle levels, if you're really hard up for an attack-boosting crew and you're running only the constellation that the bridge levels will give you for free, she's an arguable choice for a short time, but that's just it. Her time is limited. Whether you are competing in the middle level of the arena, you're eventually going to graduate to the admiral level. All these things are transitional, and so like all purples, really, their usefulness is fleeting. And so I think that you're probably going to see more benefit in the long term from the damage boost than you will from the attack boost here. There are just so many substitutes that come down the line, many of them without a condition. So I guess we could talk a little bit more about some long-term value for this purple. Janice, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, long-term value for her really is in her trait list, and it's somewhat sparse. You know, Otto already mentioned that she's got a +1 over Jenna Mitchell as far as viable traits. Only one collection. Everyone and their mother is resourceful, and she's got Crafty and Maverick, which are interesting. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that she's the best Lanthanite in the game. Yes, that's two.
Boo.
For this.
You get one, Genos. You get one.
I get one per hour. Yeah. At least the trait list is a little bit more interesting here, but not that much more interesting. So that's her long-term value. And honestly, you're going to get the value out of those additional traits once you've forgotten that she's a crew, or maybe when you have to thaw her when we get the 21st century Pelia from the time travel episode.
Hey, good call out. Yeah, I hope we get that one.
You know, mm-hmm. I must be getting old, because I remember when the Dura sisters, when Rupente Reed and their +9 were extremely valuable. So, you know, you still need a fused gold to match that level of attack boost that a super rare can offer. And Pelia being a crew in the galaxy means you will get four copies. So I will stump for a little bit. 6-second initialization is quite fast. 12-second duration is on the long side. And like I said, and Dan as well with the constellation, there certainly are ship options out there with the position ability. So, you know, I do like this crew as a new player. Even if you only manage to get, say, three copies, if you're very new and don't have a good attack boost, it might be worth throwing that last star on there just for that, especially with fleet boss battles helping you rake in honor and credits. Early on, this can be kind of a nice stepping stone as you await fusing the legendary crew to get to a +10 and above attack boost. All right, so now for a bit of a wrap-up with the Strange New Worlds / Explorer Mega. A couple names upcoming who aren't in the book yet. I guess they'll be in the latter half of this Mega. Quality of Mercy Chapel, Season 2 Uhura, I assume that's not her final name, Judge Advocate Prosecutor Battel, and Una on Trial. So 3-4 stars, and Chapel would be the 5-star. Fellas, is there anything that jumps out at you? Right away I see Chapel and I think Med, so maybe there could be a nice Med primary crew upcoming. What do you guys think?
Yeah, my thought immediately is Chapel, because, you know, given her profession, she is a nurse. And unless you've been so fortunate as to get one-way ticket Chapel from your voyages, or maybe you bought Lady Audrey Chapel from the campaign, there's not a lot of really strong nurse voyagers, and that's a new antimatter seat on the med seats in your voyage. So my hope would be that she is indeed, does have some med, maybe a big med primary, maybe a decent voyage score, and she can hit that new antimatter trait, and maybe even has some dip, and she can hit a new caregiver trait on voyages.
Yeah, right now I see two legendary nurse crew in the top 300 boosted score, and that's One Way Ticket Chapel and Evie Sutendi. You would think just by default, you know, as long as she has that trait and the med skill, that she would at least have sort of help corner the market on that specifically. Dan, anything else jump out to you?
Well, I see a number of crew around the courtroom episode, the obligatory courtroom episode. So that just screams to me a whole bunch more command dip crew coming down the pipeline Drink. Here. So we'll see what we'll see what they can do to keep them interesting. Yeah, Judge Advocate Battelle, wasn't he the bad guy that was? I don't even care. I don't care about that.
Battelle is the love interest.
Captain oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well, what was the Vulcan?
Pasalk. Yeah. Who's secretly a Romulan agent. Shout out Shai Porn. Now, actually, I am excited for Battelle. I think she's really come a long way as a character in storyline, and she's a great accompaniment / foil / support / whatever you want to call to Pike. So I do love their dynamic.
You're the counselor trait.
You know, maybe they will bring back the advocate trait just for Battelle. We'll see.
But they won't give it to Neera.
No. You can't have any consistency. You know that, Genos.
I do.
I wager money that we're going to go live with S2 Uhura.
and a dip base.
That would be. You know, I think we've gotten on these mega releases in the past, we've gotten like internal names for crew that they ended up changing last minute. So probably sitting in someone's inbox on the dev server is S2 Uhura just waiting to be released. So we'll see. All right, moving away from the mega then. Quiz Bowl Nevessa. You know, I never thought we'd get another variant. We have the 4-star version, who has a special place in my heart because of her ship ability, which I panned, 6 years ago in the very first script of the 4-star only big book, and someone said, no, you could use her on ships. Well, this is a appropriate attire in a vest is one that you could use on ships. If anyone is still conscious at this point, dip command, go ahead and drink. But we'll get to that in a second. Dan, talk to me about the ship ability, because it's a little bit contradictory. You want that big plus 10 attack boost up front, but 8 seconds initialization is a little on the slow side. So how do you manage this crew in arena or skirmish?
Yeah, it's a tough sell. It's there's a few things counting against this crew. So I do like the 400% damage. Whenever that shows up on an attack boosting crew, it gets my antenna up. But yeah, the 8-second initiation, you really are going to need to bank for that. That means that she'll go on a cloak ship. So if you have an early 4-second cloaking ship like the Nigvar, or the Romulan ship that cloaks at 4 seconds, then you know you can make an excuse to be a little bit late to the hammer party. But her usefulness is really limited to either skirmish or arena applications, because she has a limit of 2 triggers and then she's done. Also, really nasty -3 penalty to evasion means you're going to be taking a whole lot of critical hits from the opposition if you wind up not dealing lethal damage with your hammer strike. So I don't know that there's going to be a lot to attract people from a ship battle perspective. So I think we'll have to look a little more closely at the traits and voyage viability on this crew. Genos, what do you got for me?
Yeah, the traits is fantastic. She's got a really good cornucopia of traits, probably a 7-spot viable traits at this point. There's not much more you can ask for out of a crew, and you know, at least she comes preloaded with 3. Granted, you don't need all the Romulans, but at least this saves you from having to finish a pretty crappy Romulan if you pulled her from her mixed behold drink for Frank. And Frank got her first to Max, so
Frank
congratulations
to
him. Frank, oh, very good. Yeah, Frank to Max. And if you're willing to overlook her skill set, she's got some strong voyage power. She's currently rated Voyager number 31, and that takes into account not only power, but antimatter chances and skill set in order. So that's pretty strong. She you know, debuts at Tier 3, so yeah, we still call that daily use, right, Anna?
Yeah, there used to be a time where every new crew, they sort of aim for Tier 3. Now it seems like there's a lot more 5s and 6s creeping in, so I think you can kind of take the dip command drink on the chin in this case, because she has a little bit more broader utility than even someone like Kalar Pike or Admiral April, who we talked about earlier, who might slightly edge her out in power, but she definitely has utility. And I wouldn't be too concerned about the surface level metrics for collection rating and potential collection rating. The numbers aren't stellar there, but you know, if you have 7 viable traits, and we've used that term a lot, so let me just backtrack. By viable, I mean something that might hit for collections and events. So that doesn't take into account something like Human Federation or one-off racial traits like Kalar. So 7 viable traits here is quite a lot. And, you know, even if only 1 or 2 more materialize in the next year, you're already looking then at a 5 collection crew. And someone with over 30 events at that point, which for someone who only has 2 variants in game, is pretty good. So, you know, there's a lot of utility here. And while we can't advocate jumping into a mixed behold for her, even if you're trying to frank to max the crew, the Quiz Bowl art, Quiz Bowl podium art, has got to be another plus in that realm. So definitely one of the most interesting and evocative, I'll steal that one from Starscrew, to come out in quite a while. And, you know, I'm pretty up on her in general.
While we're looking at the Vanity Collection potential with podiums, let's also look at a possible number 2 to the Black and White Dress Collection right next to Date Night Chapel.
If only they could fix what's going on with her arms for the Date Night Chapel art. Really weird.
Oh, she'll be in a collection with O'Donna for a weird arm art. I don't, you know. We might be getting a little bit too esoteric at this point. Okay, let's go ahead. As much as I hate to leave the enchanting of Vessa behind, let's move on to another mixed behold crew. Mr. Greg Henry, a.k.a. Jokon, a.k.a. What's his name? Galatine from Star Trek Insurrection. So you may have seen him before, not realized it. And he rarely speaks, I think he speaks just one line of space standard English at the end of his episode. So easy to miss this guy, but a good actor. And an interesting crew. Yet another engineering primary here in, what are we, week 4 of the Big Book Podcast. This is a skill set you would love to see on a legendary crew. And WRG knows that, which is why we didn't get it on a legendary crew. But, you know, if you've sobered up by this point, there's nothing to lament about the skill set here. It is really nice, a breath of fresh air. Unfortunately, he comes to us in a huge mixed behold pack, so we're going to do something a little bit different today. Newer players, do not be allured by the pull of the mixed behold. This is not a crew who you're going to want, who you're going to be able to get early on. And if you're a veteran player, you already know what you're looking for this crew. So let's go ahead in the time machine forward 1 year and say we come across this crew in a behold. I see a couple decent traits here, thieves, survivalists, duelists, etc. Dan, if you're a new-ish player stumbling across him in 1 year's time, what are you beholding him for? Would you possibly be adding stars for the skill set? How does he look in a year from now?
Yeah, if you're a very early player and you're still looking to complete some of your galaxy missions, having a decent eng that you can either sight up or reasonably get from beholds is really going to be valuable to you. More than that, he starts right now in today's numbers. He's got two collections in the books, one of them being Enterprise, so a little less in terms of your bonus to your stats. Because that, I think, skips each tier, but with some potential down the road, we've got some other interesting traits: thief, duelist, certainly pilot. If he shows up in the mix, behold, that may be a signal that we might be seeing a collection sooner rather than later too. You know, I think there's a lot of good arguments for this crew if he's going to come to you for free. But man, if you have to pay for the amount of dilithium you'll need to spend to get him out of one of those mixed behold packs, I would advocate you do not mess with the Zokon. Dennis, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, fantastic. So I've been banned from making my normal joke here. So I will just mention.
All right, go ahead.
Making this joke.
We're almost done, Janos. Go ahead.
Thank you, Otto. Debuts, of course, as the best Arconian in the game. But the interesting thing here is his ship ability. So you've heard us probably mention this on podcasts, on Timelines Talks, or looked at crew notes, and you've seen us mention crew as an Ardra Light. So Ardra, for the longest time, was the gold standard for a crew on your ship that would give you a big accuracy boost so that your instant damages would actually hit your opponent and then a big crit bonus so that when they did hit, they would increase the amount of damage that they would do. So what Ardra does is she gives you plus 7 accuracy at 6 seconds and gives 18,000 to crit bonus. So Zokon, same accuracy boost, same initialization, but only 12,000 to crit bonus. So in a year, maybe you find him, but he's in the portal. Are you going to be throwing super rare sights on him to increase that that accuracy boost? Do you already have Ardra or another Ardra like crew at 4 out of 4 from an event, or did you find them through other means, voyages, super rare beholds, whatever? It's really one of his only interesting qualities a year from now, and by that point you might have somebody better or the same. So he is on bended knee begging for you to take him in his behold, but maybe he doesn't have a lot to offer outside of the canteen that he's holding.
Weren't the Arconians elf's neighbors in that old sitcom? That may be a deep cut. I think it was the Archmonics.
No, that was Mrs. Archmonic was the next door neighbor, I believe. So, trust me, we're brushed up on our elf trivia in the Big Book podcast.
The deep elf lore.
In pog form.
That's right. Actually, my cats are looking a little bit nervous over there, so we better move on. This is a crew who it looks better. This is sort of the Homer Simpson meme, with the rubber band stretching all the skin on his back. This looks a little bit better day one than he will by the time he's actually available to you, and this is sort of a soft launch, and that a lot of players won't see him until he does enter the portal. And by then, even with that great skill set, the Voyage power is probably going to be outclassed by a lot of 1-star or 2-5 sort of legendary crew, even if they can't match all 3 skills. So more of an interesting string of traits, I would say, than as a holistic sort of Voyage top 10 engineering base and all those things rolled into one that he could be if he were maybe an event release instead. So tread with caution on Zokon. All right. So just Grady then. Thank God. I love you guys, but I want to throw in some football and cough. Mm-hmm.
Well, go Eagles.
My wife's watching Eagles Cowboys upstairs. She's not getting her hopes up, but we'll see where she's at.
Oh, she Cowboys
where do you stand?
Fan?
Oh no, Eagles fan. We came from Philadelphia area, okay. So.
I'll root for the Eagles.
We were enemies last week, Dan, and I didn't even know it.
Yes, that's right.
I think Biggs.
Great show, man. They deserve that win. I'll tell you.
Biggs a Cowboys.
It was a hell of a game.
Yeah, we got the Cowboys next week, and I'm gonna have to either give Big a hard time or get away from him for a week. All right, Grady.
Actually. Flavor text, a mentally ill homeless man. He was convinced that aliens were visiting the Earth and he could be invisible. Fucking tier 2, great Voyager. Let's give him all the power. Let's make him excusive. Wait, what the fuck?
So I have Grady.
Oh, you got it.
I had to make the choice because, and here's the big shameless moment that I was all up on the chapel on one way ticket chapel when we did our audio notes, and I was like, I can't wait for her, I'm gonna get her and sight her up right away. Well, who shows up in the damn behold but Grady right next to one way ticket chapel, and neither of them got him. So I had to do some serious calculus. It took me about 45 minutes of hedging before I pushed the button on that. I had to go
Grady. Would have reversed it for you probably.
What's that?
Even if you change your mind, CS would have reversed it for you. They did it for Idle.
Oh, really? No kidding. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, they're pretty well made up. He's just better. He's so good. What a great crew.
All right. Let's just keep rolling on Grady. Yet another sec dip something Voyager. I think that's what the third or fourth one this right. week. We have had a lot of crew to talk about, but he is the new Voyage exclusive crew, debuting with a tier 2. He does have the requisite Voyage power with an overall plus skill set, reasonable shuttle power, again with a barely top 10 base, but you're going to see a lot of those seats on in events, which he has a reasonable number of for a one-off crew, carried by traits, which also give him a decent collection value too. So, fairly well-rounded, I guess. Not much to write home for with ships or Gauntlet. But in terms of Voyage Exclusive Crew, you know, you could certainly do worse. Chakotay, I'm looking at you.
So, yeah, part of the math that I did, I mean, just in terms of raw Voyage Power and looking at that later losers curve we love to talk about, he is at the absolute tippy top of that. He has a Voyage score of almost 5,100, which is just premium level. He earns his Tier 2 status, number 17 Voyager at debut. Makes Vori Defender Chakotay look wimpy in comparison, and Vori Defender Chakotay has been one of my most fantastic continue mission solvers. All of a sudden now I've got Grady to look at with the number one sec in the game, number one sec dip, number one sec dip, and just he's number one's down the roster here. Every possible antimatter seat that you can throw at him, he's gonna just be chief among them. So despite the fact that we're starting out with a sec dip as his primary secondary, that Eng tertiary means he's going to show up even if you have one of those one of those seats open. You throw him in and just get ridiculous amounts of Voyage power. I can't say enough good things about Grady, and it's so interesting with him being such a minor bit part and a fantastic episode too. Jadzia runs into him right in the middle of the Bell riots, and all of a sudden, hey, there's a random Clint Howard in the middle of our Star Trek again. But he's really going to be a prominent character in timelines going forward, and something that people should really be seriously considering if you see him on your Voyage Behold.
Yeah, you know, if we're looking at average power for actor or actress, Clint Howard between Baylock and Grady has got to be near the top, which is a little bit depressing. But yeah, you can't say he hasn't added to the wider Trekverse. So I want to go big picture here, Genos. We have now four Voyage exclusive crew: Black, Chapel, Chakotay, and now Grady. They all offer something, although Black primarily with his gauntlet power is going to be a crew, regardless of equipment, who you typically stick with one star and he's good to go. But the other three, really, they kind of need all their stars. Chapel and Grady because of Voyages. And Chakotay, although he's decent there and he has now a handful of 65% gauntlets, he's also at the top of the combined sec list for continuum missions, so he has a little bit of value there. Janice, go ahead and rank for me, if you will, with these four crew, Chapel, Black, Grady, and Chakotay, what is your Behold priority? Because now we have to get a little more choosy. We're not going to be able to pick from all of them at once when a Behold pops up.
Yeah, so I'm assuming, of course, that I don't have any at this point. I have everyone but Grady, so everyone can hate me. Boo this man, boo.
You're the worst Genos in the game. I just want you to know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, Black's
even
obviously
worse than Genos Mitchell. Yeah.
Oh, Mitchell, watch. Yeah, Black's obviously number one. Nope.
Yeah.
Nice.
Number one.
Black's number one. No one can do really what he does until, you know, I just don't see them releasing another exclusive more powerful than him, or, you know, that has more crit than he does. And he's still a decent
one
wager.
Week later, and we get a much better call of crit. Yeah, okay.
Yes. And I do realize that Grady on the power level is above where Chapel is. So, you know, Grady about punches where his power level is. Chapel punches above of where her power level is. So their Voyage rating on the big book are pretty similar. And we talked earlier kind of about the missing nurse trait on Voyages. So I'm actually going to slot Chapel above Grady, and sorry, Chuckles is at the bottom. So that's just personal preference. I think that nurse seat is going to make a difference for you a couple times a month. And she's got enough, she honestly got enough power to ride even without it. But you're going to want that extra 25 antimatter, especially if you're running these long voyages to try to get the ones that you don't have. I'll tell you right now, I'm right in the middle of a long voyage, hoping to get Grady sometime before my voyage tokens run out.
Actually, those new antimatter traits they added are plus 30 antimatter, as opposed to the old 20. No, I'm just screwing with you. So if you're a Big Book Plus subscriber, you should have seen the look on Janice's face. Dan, I'll pose the same question to you then. Are you nursing for Chapel in the number two slot behind Black? How do you sort of slot in these four crew in terms of priority?
Yeah, well, that's the decision I had to make, because I thought I would be Team Chapel all the way. You know, anytime I can get my hands on a really strong med crew, you know, that's great for me. But I think I disagree, and I'd have to put a Gradient number two. I just think he's going to have the greater long-term potential. One-way ticket Chapel is a fantastic crew, don't get me wrong, but I think that Grady just edges her out. I think he will be on more voyages now and in the future with that engineering tertiary. So another note I'll make too is I give the fact that I was able to get Grady so soon after releases, I don't think is an accident. So one of the changes that I've made this week, and we're looking at a month in retrospect of Continuum missions now, for better or for worse, rocky start, but now things seem to be working smoothly. I've changed up my strategy a bit. For the first few weeks, I was trying to maximize my qubits and try to get, I paid the 50 dilithium, refresh my missions, try to get as many of those as possible. But now I feel like I've got a comfortable stockpile. So I've kind of let slip the dogs of war here. All of my quipped crew, after I've cleared out the final epic level and gotten my dilithium drop, I've let them go. They've been flying on my faction shuttles this week. They've been on my voyages. It was on a 16-hour voyage that Grady finally dropped. And I think that going forward, we'll start to see these voyage crew drop a little bit more frequently for those players who can do the same thing and really get some really strong quip crew, run through, maximize your payouts on the Continuum missions, and then really benefit for a good 3, even 4 days the rest of the equipment time remaining on those crew when you can get them on your voyages.
So pay attention, folks at home. This is not survivor bias. You're just voyaging wrong. This from Dan Chavin, who has all the exclusive crew that you don't have. So I think that just about wraps up Grady and the show, jam-packed with new crew, a lot of them entering because of the Mega and the exclusive crew, and a whole lot of Dip Command. If you're still nursing your Bud Light out there, please drink responsibly with the Big Book Podcast drinking game, because there will be a lot of Dip Command crew to come. Fellas, anything that you'd like to wrap up with regards to the Mega or any of the new crew?
I really like Grady's boots and how he's only got one pant leg tucked into the boot, and the other one that we see some ankle, and I'm a little woozy looking at the ankle.
Yeah, something that doesn't lend itself too well to the podcast format, but the art is really, really wonderful for what we've seen so far this Mega. So take a trip to bigbook.app. Look at those nice full-size crew images that we have there. Hell, I mean, you know, you got them there. You don't need to buy them in the game, right? You got your free PNGs, so.
Right. Well, my hope, and I'm sure Otto's and Dan's as well, is that as people are listening to the podcast, they have bigbook.app pulled up on their phone, and they are looking at the crew sheets as we are talking about the crew. That's my hope. And even if they're driving, I'm hoping that too.
All right, I'll go ahead and cut out all that, the great Konami code stuff you told us about how to get the automatic exclusive crew, and I'll put that up for Big Book Plus subscribers. Everyone else will hear about Grady's boots and PNGs and such. So thanks for joining us in week 4 of the Big Book podcast experiment. I can't believe we've actually made 4 episodes so far, but thanks for watching, and if we don't make it around for Christmas, happy holidays, folks. No more trouble. All right.
Well, that wasn't short at all.
No. Oh, there was a lot of crew. There was a lot to dig through.